In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are some texts in Holy Scripture that are difficult to understand, and this is certainly true. And there are some that are theologically rich, and there is much that can be said and learned from them, but their main point, nonetheless, is extremely simple. Today, we have such a text before us. We can plumb its depths. Last year, I believe that I spent the entire sermon speaking about just one word, pretty much, and that being the word good. What does Jesus mean when he says that he is the good shepherd? We could spend hours and days going over each individual piece of today's lesson. But what is the main thrust and theme of the text? It is simple. Jesus says that he is the shepherd of the sheep, and that the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This is opposed to the thieves and robbers who sneak in to steal and to murder. These robbers speak a different voice. And so also Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. There may be many false doors. There may be many doors that claim to lead to God, but there is only one true door. Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And to move away from the metaphor and say it more plainly, as Scripture says, there is no one else under heaven. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And just as there are many false doors, but only one true door, there are also many voices, all calling out to us, seeking to gain our hearing, speaking and seeking to persuade us of this or that. But we, Christ's sheep, hear his voice, and we hearken unto it alone. The shepherd comes that the sheep may have life and have it abundantly. Any voice that speaks a different word than this is the voice of Antichrist, is the voice of the thief or the robber who comes only to steal and kill and destroy. To put it even more simply, what is this text about? It is about Jesus. He is the way of salvation. He is the teacher of the church. And pulling from our epistle text, he is not only the shepherd, but also the bishop of our souls. And thus it is that Christianity is not first and foremost about Christians. Christianity is not first and foremost about you, and it is not about me. Christianity is about Christ. And this is a good rule of thumb for evaluating any church that you go to visit. What is the sermon about? Is it about you, or is it about Jesus? And if Jesus is mentioned, who is doing the work? Who is doing the verbs? Is it about what you do for Jesus, or is it what Jesus does for you? He is the center, not us. He should be the one doing the actions, not us. He is the source and he is the life of the church. Christianity is about who Christ is and what he has done and what he continues to do. Christ is no mere historical figure. The events of his earthly life are indeed a part of history. His resurrection is indeed a part of history. But his resurrection means precisely that he is the risen, living source of the life of the church and the life that you now live. Indeed, we are part of a new creation. For as we heard at the beginning of Lent, that which is born of spirit is spirit. You have been born of the Holy Spirit. He has given you a new birth in your holy baptism, and he has filled you with his spirit. He not only justifies you and makes you right with God, but he also sanctifies you and forms you after the image of himself. He creates you in his own image. True Christianity is always about Christ. He is the door, he is the shepherd, he is the voice to which we listen, and that voice proclaims none other than what he has done for us. Indeed, One of the great joys of being in a church that respects the traditions of our fathers and mothers in the faith is that they have given us the church year. The church year is a gift because it focuses our attention not on what I might think will bring in the crowds, not on what I might think you will find most entertaining, not on what I might think is the most politically relevant issue to discuss, but it focuses us year in and year out, week in and week out, on Christ. In the first half of the church year, we meditate especially on the person and work of Jesus. In Advent, we remember his incarnation in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and that God became man. Everything changes in that moment. And we see how greatly God loves and holds sacred human life. Because the shepherd laid down his own life so that you might have life eternal. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of God's Son, the birth of God in the flesh, and the salvation that he has come to win for us. He is called Jesus, a name that means Savior, because he has come to save those who cannot save themselves, those who deserve eternal death and eternal punishment on account of their many sins. In other words, he has come for all of us, sinners of every kind, both great and small, both known and unknown. And we see that he is precisely the type of shepherd we need. He comes to save us, and there is no salvation in anyone else. There is no salvation in any other name. He and he alone is the door. In Epiphany, we see that he has come not only for the Jews, and also not for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel, to some earthly political prominence. Instead, we see that he comes for all people, to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. Thus, there is only one shepherd and one flock, not many. He comes that he might make for himself a new human race and a kingdom that is not of this world, a race and kingdom that will inherit the new heavens and the new earth. During Lent, we meditate on the present state of the fallen human race and on what great suffering and faithfulness it would take to win our redemption. The truth, of course, is that we all know that we've made a disaster of this world, a disaster of the human race, a moral disaster of ourselves, corporately and individually. Why the outrage mobs? Why the constant outrage on TV and social media? Because profoundly guilty people have guilty consciences, whether or not they admit it or not. And they desperately want to draw the attention to others' sins as a means of self-justification. And this, of course, is true for all of us to one degree or another. Salvation is so far beyond our reach that it is laughable and utterly despair-inducing. Indeed, we are sheep. We easily get lost. We fall into any odd ditch or get stuck in any odd bush. Our defense against the wolves is to freeze and fall over. If we are ever to reach salvation, we need a shepherd. And the task of bringing us to salvation is so difficult that that shepherd would have to be none other than God himself. And we see in Holy Week, we see how this is indeed accomplished. And with what great selfless love and with what faithfulness and faithful suffering, with what great passion our shepherd lays down his life for us. We come to know the love of God most poignantly in the scourging, nailing, and crowning and crucifying of the one who not only endures these things at the hands of his creatures, but endures them for the sake of his creatures. That even though through our profoundest evil towards him, he would work for us the profoundest good. At Easter, we celebrate that salvation complete. And his resurrection, in fact, his sacrifice for our sins accepted by God, who raises him from the dead, our sins atoned for, along with the sins of the whole world. And God is once more reconciled to man. Our sins, great and terrible, chronic and perverse as they may be, blotted out by his divine blood, so completely forgiven that they are no longer reckoned to us, let alone counted against us. And this divine forgiveness, won by the blood of Jesus, is simply received by faith. It is simply to be believed. The sheep hear the shepherd's voice, "You are forgiven," and they believe. It cannot be inherited, it cannot be earned, it cannot be paid back. It can only be and only is received in faith. For from the beginning, God has only wanted to be believed when he speaks, for the sheep to hear his voice and eschew all others. And this great gospel proclamation, this great good news of God, forgiveness of sins won by the blood of Jesus, goes forth throughout the world, to every place in every time. The everlasting gospel and the mystery of God's redemption of the world goes forth even now here, and even to us here, and yes, through us to others. The joy of Easter is the reality of Easter. And the reality of Easter is its joy. The power of death has come undone. Jesus is risen in fact, historical fact, falsifiable fact, objective fact, fact corroborated by all manner of witnesses and evidence and additional facts. Jesus is risen, and as it goes for Jesus, it goes for all who believe in him. We need only wait. We need only endure in faith. And indeed, this life is very short. But what our Christ has done for us is eternal. Even now, already, death has come undone, and Christ is risen, and we shall rise. This great joy is the reality and foundation of our Christian lives. It is the reality of all that we say and we think and we do. We know how this all ends. We know that we are victorious in Christ. We know that the doom and gloom will evaporate like a cloud before the shining face of Jesus when he returns. Christianity is all about Jesus. From Advent through Easter, and from Easter on, as it was then, and so it is also today. And we hear in our gospel text that Jesus is rejected by some and loved by others. And this is precisely the judgment. It is the judgment of the world in an ever-present sense. Jesus is the shepherd who enters the door because he is the genuine shepherd, the true shepherd. All others are imposters. All others are false saviors. They attempt to climb in by another way. They are thieves, they are robbers, strangers, and murderers. They will not lay down their life for the sheep, nor could they. They will not and they cannot. They come to take advantage of the sheep, to steal and to kill. The true shepherd comes not to steal, not to kill, but to lay down his life for his sheep and give them life abundantly. Jesus is not only our good shepherd, but he is also the door of his sheep. If we enter in by him, we will be saved. And not only will we be saved, but we will find pasture, Jesus says. We will find true and lasting peace. We will find true and lasting joy. We will find all things made right. We will find this, but only in Christ. Only by entering through him. He alone is the door to everlasting communion with God. So Jesus alone is the door. If we enter by him, we shall be saved just as he says. Jesus alone is the shepherd, and if we follow him and listen to his voice, we shall have life just as he says. But Jesus would not say that he is the door unless there are other doors. And Jesus wouldn't say that he is the good shepherd unless there were false shepherds. There are indeed many false doors that are not actually doors at all. And false shepherds that are not actually shepherds, and false Christs that are not actually the Christ. In truth, there is only one door, one shepherd, and one Christ, and he is the Christ proclaimed in Holy Scripture. If someone preaches to you a Christ different than the one in Holy Scripture, He preaches a false Christ. He himself is a false shepherd, and he is pointing you to a door that leads not to the Father, but unto damnation. Whatever is contrary to Scripture is simply of the devil. The devil, who himself is the greatest thief and robber, the greatest murderer and stranger, and the true father of all who are such as he is. He is not the door of freedom, but the door to the slavery of hell. He is not the good shepherd, but a wolf in the clothing that we find whatever most attractive. As complex as this world may be, as complex as this text may be, it is also simply just this plain. There is one who seeks, by whatever means necessary, to take your life from you for all eternity. And there is one who lays down his life for you, so that you might have life in his name and have it abundantly. There are many voices, but there is only one voice of the shepherd. So listen to Jesus. Follow him. No doubt you will sin. No doubt you will doubt. No doubt you will fall. But Christianity isn't about you. Thanks be to God, it's about Christ. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. He is the bishop of your soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.